Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Right, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. Having purified your souls in the obedience of the truth through the Spirit into an unhypocritical brotherly love, out of a pure heart, love one another with an extended love, having been born again or regenerated, not out of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which is living and remaining forever. On account of that, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass was withered, and the flower of it, or its flower, fell off, but the word of the Lord is remaining forever. And this is the word which has been preached toward you. We're in this chapter on salvation, and remember, Peter is presenting the very points and principles of salvation because the theme of the letter is suffering. The believers are going to suffer. So in the midst of the impending suffering that's coming up, he is now securing them so that they can look back and know that they are taken care of. Verses 1 and 2, we saw the sovereignty of salvation, that God knew ahead of time and planned ahead of time for all that we would need. Verses 3 through 5, the security of salvation, that God is the one who is keeping us. So in the midst of trials, when we think it is so difficult, and we're trying to keep our way in Christ, and in reality, he's keeping us. We saw in verses 6 through 9 the suffering of salvation. That suffering, going through trials, is a necessity. In fact, a design plan of God in order to prove us, because after all, if Jesus Christ lives in us, then he can take us through anything. And if we sink and we don't swim or float, then the Lord's proving that he's not in us. He is proving himself that we belong to him. And secondly, we are being purified. The trials purify us. And through the trials, God manifests and exploits the weaknesses that we have so that God can minister them to our hearts. We saw in verses 10 through 12 the servants of salvation, that the prophets of old prophesied concerning our salvation, but they themselves didn't understand, nor did they realize what they were prophesying. We saw that the Holy Spirit, working through the New Testament apostles, brought the message of salvation for us. Angels were involved in bringing God's message of salvation. Now, these are all important to show how much effort God went to put into our salvation and the message of our salvation. We saw in verses 13 through 16 the sanctification of our salvation, that we are sanctified in God's Spirit. Last week we saw in verses 17 through 21 the sacrifice of salvation. That is, that we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our response to life, how we live our life, should be in well-pleasing to the Lord, because it wasn't gold or silver that we were purchased with, but it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Today, we're finishing this chapter off with the seed of salvation. The seed of salvation. Very important text for today. Verse 22. He says, and there are two conditions, bookending a command in verse 22. The command is love one another with an extended love. But the first condition, there are two conditions for someone to obey the command to not produce love, because that's really not the emphasis. It's the extended love. Extended love, and I'll get to that in just a moment. There are two conditions presented, and both of these words that represent these conditions are in the perfect participial form. That is, these are things that have already happened. They stand true today based upon a past action. They are participial, that is, it's ongoing, and the emphasis here, the first condition is purification. Having your souls purified. Every believer that has been born of the Spirit of God has had their souls purified. You stand in a purified condition. Because the Spirit of Christ resides in our spirit, therefore our spirit is holy. My flesh is not, but where Christ dwells, he is holy, and he dwells in my spirit or in my soul. So he says, having your souls purified, and he presents three things. First of all, the place where the purification took place in the obedience of the truth. Secondly, the provision. Through the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God. And thirdly, the purpose, for an unhypocritical brotherly love. The word hypocrite is actually a theater term. It represents the actor who is answering according to the script. That's what a hypocrite is. Somebody who acts out how he's supposed to act, but is not the real thing. When the Lord purified our souls, he brought us into an unhypocritical brotherly love. The term brotherly love is where we get our word Philadelphia from, Philadelphion. And it means to be fond of the family of God. Phileo means to be fond. So have a family love for one another that is unhypocritical. Why? Because I've been born of the Spirit of God, therefore the Spirit of God in me produces a love that comes from the soul and comes from the Spirit. Then he presents the command, and first of all, the place from where this command comes from, out of a pure heart. People who have had their souls purified have a clean heart. Out of a clean heart, love one another with an extended love. The word fervent in the English text is the Greek word for to extend. In other words, don't just have a love that's with your words or even how you treat one another only. I mean, all those things are nice. But let it be a love of action, a love that extends out. A love that participates and reaches out to one another. But then he presents the second condition in verse 23. Having been regenerated or born again. Again, the place from not from out of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which is living and remaining forever. The place from out of a incorruptible seed, the provision through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. What he is saying here is that there was a supernatural event that took place in the believer's life that made it possible to obey the truth and made it possible to show an agape love for one another. On our Tuesday night study, we've been studying the word agape, at least we had quite in detail, to find out that God is agape. It's not a human action, it's God himself. So he's saying, those of you who have experienced the supernatural birth, You have been regenerated. You've been born again. You've been born of the Spirit of God. You have been purified in your souls. Therefore, this supernatural event of being born of God gives you the ability to obey the truth and gives you the ability to love one another. Only a soul who has had his life purified can love. Only a soul who has been regenerated can love with agape love. A human being cannot do that. Verse 24. And continuing on and telling us the reason why on account of that. And here is a quote from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. Isaiah 40, 6 through 8. On account of that, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass was withered, and the flower fell off, but the word of the Lord is abiding forever. And this is the word, the one that has been preached toward you. Interesting, if you take the quote from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, and go back and read it, it's an interesting prophecy, because in Isaiah 40, it says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. But the Lord breathed on the grass and withered the grass, because the people is the grass. So it's interesting. It represents the human element that is temporary. And just as the grass, and it's interesting, we're going to get into some Hebrew thought this morning that I think will bless your heart if you can follow what I'm saying. All that we see in creation, and if you have listened to our study on Genesis chapter 1 on creation, you know that all of God's nature and all of God's laws are found in creation. He just didn't give us a nice tropical greenish place to live and enjoy. It's not that. Is that God put representations of himself and his law into creation. Some rabbis even say that the human DNA contains all of the laws of the Torah, so that even the human body can be studied. And you go through and you study about the various presentations about the head and the hands and the feet. The physical body, the Jews hold that to be very important in understanding God. He has given us a tremendous atmosphere in to study about him by what he's created. Now, it is interesting, the Jews, in their study of the scriptures, of course, their study is on the Hebrew scriptures, but their study has to do with agriculture and biology and linguistics. That is, they study God, the message of God, in agriculture. That's why Jesus came and spoke in parables, and he used agriculture in his parables, because the Jews understood that. Peter's letter is written to believing Jews, and when he says that you have been born not from corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. That is a tremendous amount of importance. We understand that from a Jewish or Hebrew standpoint as to exactly what that means. You see, the Greeks and all of us in the Western world, we think linear. Remember the timeline I gave you about the Bible? There's the Old Testament on the left, and there's the New Testament on the right. That's how we present things. But the Jews are cyclical. They see the Bible message repeated over and over and over again. They don't see it linear. They see it repeated. They believe that every truth of the gospel is found in creation and is found in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. And this is one of them. They don't see the New Testament as being new. They see the New Testament as a repeat of the Old Testament, just with more information. It fulfills the old. And it's a tremendous thing to see. And like I say, they think cyclical. We think linear. In Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to present this to you and follow this through for you from the Hebrew Scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, in day 3 of creation, that would be verses 9 through 13, what God did was he let the waters that were under the heavens be collected into one place and let the dry land be seen. And God called to the dry land earth. And the collection of waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. That's a very important thing, to see the word good, tov in Hebrew. Not just good like you step back and look at it. Oh, yeah, I like that painting. You know, the word tov means good in the sense that when God created something, it fulfilled its function. He looked back and said, yeah, this will work. He created it for a reason. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for that we translate wicked. If you were to read through the New Testament and see various presentations of what wicked people do, you'd probably say, I'm not one of those. But in reality, in a Hebrew sense, the word wicked, ra'ah, means to not fulfill the purpose for which you were created. It puts a whole new light on what evil and wicked is. It's not what you do. It's the fact that if you are not surrendered to God and fulfilling his purpose for your life, you're a wicked person. Even though that somebody would say, oh, I don't do bad things. No, but you're going your own way. You're doing it your way. God put you on this planet at a certain time in history. Are you fulfilling that purpose for which he put you here for? So God saw that his creation was good. Sin had not ruined creation yet. So he saw that it was good. And verse 11 says, and God said, earth, sprout grass. That's how the Hebrew reads. There's no let in there. In any of the Hebrew texts, God didn't make say a formula. You know, let there be light. Boom! You know, all of a sudden there's light. He said, be light. And there was light. He said, be grass growing. I wish he was the head of my gardening business when I was very little work. Next day, customer calling, I got a full lawn. You just planted it yesterday. Well, you know. So God says, sprout grass and plant seeding seed. Catch it. The fruit tree producing fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in it upon the earth. And it was so. The law of reproduction. God created within creation, he incorporated the law of reproduction, that everything should reproduce after its kind. Grass produces grass. Trees produce trees. Everything produces out of its kind. Now, here's an interesting thing, because the Jews hold two things. Number one, they hold the text to be literal. And number two, they also hold it to be a shadow of the gospel truth that's found throughout the Word of God. So the Hebrew word that says according to its kind in Genesis 1:11, according to its kind, interesting, it's masculine in its expression. Is it making reference literally to trees and grass producing after its kind? Yes. But it's interesting that it's masculine in that it also applies to man. the human being. We produce after our kind. Everything in creation, everything in nature produces after its kind. It is also true spiritually. Here's the spiritual principle, that if somebody belongs to Jesus Christ, if they have been born of the seed of God, that seed produces the things of God. It cannot produce corruption, right? It can't do that. Apple tree can't produce oranges. Jesus even said, "You shall know them by their fruit," because he's making reference to the very seed process, that once a person has been born from the seed of God, God has planted his nature in them. As that seed is cultivated, and as that seed is watered, and as that seed grows spiritually in a person's life, it produces fruit. Not it should. In John 15, Jesus says, "Every branch in me is producing fruit." He says, "A corrupt tree can't produce good fruit." See the word good? What was the tree created for? To produce good fruit. But a corrupt tree can't produce good fruit. A good tree can't produce corrupt fruit. It's impossible. We're talking spiritual here, okay? We're not talking human flesh. We're talking spiritual. And so from this very principle, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, that God made the grass, God made the trees, everything that's going to produce fruit after its kind, and everything is going to produce seed after its kind. Period. That's law. God's law. Now let's carry this through. Next text is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Remember when Satan tempted Eve? Eve tempted Adam? And so it went right down the chain. When God showed up, they hid because they had disobeyed. And when God questioned each of them, of course, blamed somebody else. To Satan, he said, "You will crawl on your belly." To the woman, he says, "You will be subject to your husband." To the man, he says, "You will be subject to working and laboring and tilling the ground." But he says in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3, and Yahweh said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all the beasts, and more than every animal of the field you shall go on your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." Verse 15, "And I will put enmity, hostility, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That's a prophecy about Christ. When he died on the cross, Satan bruised his heel. But Jesus at the cross won victory over Satan and crushed his head. But it is interesting, we're talking about the seed. It's between your seed, snake, and her seed, the seed of the woman. What are these seeds going to produce? Satan produces the fruit of evil. Everyone that is not born of the Spirit of God has the seed of corruption in their spirit, and they cannot help but produce evil. And Satan himself is the one that he plants seed. But also the woman, he's talking about Mary, that the seed would come. And he's talking about Jesus Christ being the seed. So there's the first prophecy concerning Christ, and it has to do with the seed. Now we go to Genesis chapter 12. This is where God gave promise to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "And Yahweh said to Abram, Go out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse the ones despising you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Not just Jews, all families of the earth will be blessed. That's God's promise to Abraham. We follow that promise to Genesis chapter 21. Remember, in the meantime, Sarah and Abraham are having a struggle because God promised them a son, and through this son would be the promised people. And so Sarah said, I can't bear children, so take my handmaid, and through Hagar, he bore Ishmael. And Abraham says, well, there's my promised son. And God said, no, you produced it. Not a son of promise. If you produce it. But now we got a problem. Once Isaac is born, there's a struggle between Ishmael and Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 21, verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, he whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. And she said to Abraham, drive away this slave girl and her son, for the son of this slave girl shall not inherit with my son, with Isaac. So here we have the women fighting with each other about their sons who are in contention with each other. It could say there in a note, which would be not in the Bible, but it would be factual, hence begins the Mideast crisis, Ishmael and Isaac. That's what's going on in the Middle East. The descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac, battling. So she says, send her away. And all this thing was very evil in the eyes of Abraham, very adverse to him. On account of his son, he was very attached to Ishmael. And in the beginning, he says, that's my promised son. And God said, no, it's not. And God said to Abraham, verse 12 of Genesis 21, let it not be evil in your eyes because of the boy and on account of the slave girl. All that Sarah says to you, listen to her voice. He's telling him, you listen to your wife. For in Isaac, your seed shall be called. See the cycle going through the scriptures? All the way from Genesis 1:11, everything produces after its kind. Through Abraham, the seed will be called. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, God repeats it to him. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. The seed. Very interesting. In Galatians, chapter 3, verse 16, a very important verse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Listen to what it says. But the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, unquote, which is Christ. Oh. It wasn't about a bunch of seeds becoming the Jewish people. It was the seed, singular, not plural, one. So back when God was promising Abraham that through your seed, all families of the earth would be blessed. He's not talking about the Jewish people as seed. He's talking about one seed, and that seed is Jesus Christ. Through the lineage, it's being produced. How do human beings produce? Through the seed. There will be a spiritual seed that comes. In Romans chapter 9, verse 7, Paul says in verse 6, God's word has not failed. For not all the ones of Israel are of Israel. Verse 7, nor because they are Abraham's seed are all children, but in Isaac a seed shall be called to you. What he's saying is, the seed is not Israel. The seed comes through Isaac, but it's not Jewish, it's Christ. Was Christ Jewish? Yes. Did he come through the physical, a physical birth through a woman? Yes. Was he conceived from a man? No. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Special kind of seed. That was Romans 9, verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18, it says, by faith, while Abraham was being tested, he offered up Isaac, and the one receiving the promises was offering up the only begotten. Verse 18, as to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, quoting Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. Singular. Back in some texts, it's capitalized, seed, because it's Christ. Well, first of all, we see the principle and the law in Genesis 1:11. We see this prophecy in Genesis 3:15 about the two seeds, one from Satan and one from God. One seed that's going to come through the woman, and that's Christ. We see the promise to Abraham, that the Christ specifically is going to come through the line of Abraham, through the woman. But fourthly, listen to this about the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Pay close attention and try to connect the dots here, because we're taking a little bit from each one, but this is very important. Yeah, Isaiah 11, 1 says, and a shoot, not from a gun, a shoot of a tree. And a shoot goes out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit out of its roots. Jesus Christ is called a branch and a shoot coming out of the tree. What does the branch produce? It produces whatever seed planted the tree. Not only Isaiah 11:1, but Isaiah 11:10 says, and it shall be in that day the root of Jesse. Is it that stands as a banner of peoples, nations shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glory. A root of Jesse. Now, what is interesting is we center in here on what the text is trying to say. The Hebrew word for apostle, Shaliach. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew New Testament, the translation that they have for the Jews today, talks about Paul. Paulos Shaliach, Paul the apostle. And that it literally means a shoot that has been sent out, a root from out of the tree. We know from the Greek word apostolos that means to send with a commission. But even more specifically, it means that this branch and this shoot has been sent out. And what does it produce? It produces from the tree that it came from. So the disciples or the apostles, they are producing from the tree. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now we've got it reversed, you see. Jesus was the root. He was the shoot coming out from God. And that root and that shoot grows, and from it branches come out. And those branches produce from the tree, period. That's what Jesus said in John 15:1. I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch abiding in me is producing fruit. It's a factual statement. Now in Luke chapter 8, verses 11 to 16, Luke 8, 11 to 16, the parable of the sower. Oh, now we're getting down to it. Why did Jesus emphasize the parable of the sower? And by the way, according to Mark's presentation, is that Jesus said, if you understand the parable of the sower, you understand all parables. So the parable of the sower is the main parable that Jesus spoke, and everything is based on that, on the understanding of that. He talked about the seed falling on various kinds of soil. And he explained that the seed is the Word of God. Oh. The seed is the Word of God. So that when God's word goes out by God's Spirit produces fruit. God's Spirit plants a seed. And not all people that hear the seed are born of the seed. The seed has to go down into the soil and it has to die. Remember John chapter 12? Jesus said, unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit. So Jesus said he had to die. Bear fruit. If the seed just sits on the surface, it doesn't do anything. It has to be buried. It's got to go under the ground. And so Jesus said there's four kinds of hearts. There's four kinds of listening to the Word of God. And there's only one kind of soil that actually takes the Word and allows the Word to embed itself down in the soil. The heart that's been prepared. But it's the seed. And you'll notice that Jesus said, and in the good soil, good meaning it's fulfilling its purpose. In the good soil, it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's not me getting saved and going out and witnessing. It's the seed of God that has been planted in me that over time is cultivated and nourished. And that seed plants other seeds because it's by the Spirit of God. God uses us. He says, you're going to be like a tree. That's why ministry is branching out. Reaching other people. It's not a human effort. That's that's why my one and only responsibility to Christ is come and be watered and cultivated by the Word of God. Because that's where I was born from. The Word of God is like a seed. Well, isn't it interesting in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Word of God. That wasn't born from out of Scripture on a page. I was born from Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. And when I'm born of the Spirit of God, that seed is planted and I'm born again. In James chapter 1 about salvation, James chapter 1, verse 21, beginning of verse 19, so that my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For the wrath or anger of man does not fully work the righteousness of God. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting away all filthiness and the overflow of evil in meekness, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Implanted. James is a Jew. He understands this whole seed process, you see. In our text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says that we have been regenerated not out of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God that lives and abides forever. The Logos. Seventhly, security. Back to our text in 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what he says. Everyone practicing sin, verse 4, also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that the one he was revealed in order that he might take away our sins, and there's no sin in him. Everyone remaining in him does not sin. Everyone sinning has not seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one lead you astray. The one practicing righteousness is righteous, even as that one is righteous. The one practicing sin is of the devil, because the devil sins from the beginning. For this the Son of God was made known, in order that he might loosen or undo the works of the devil. 1 John 3:9 says, everyone having been regenerated of God does not sin, because his seed abides in him. Seed. See, being regenerated means that, just like in human reproduction, when the seed experiences birth, there's life. That's why it's important that in all of our arguments, we understand that when life is conceived in the womb, that's a living being. Not after birth, but at conception. And in the whole reproduction process, God says, through it all, if you're paying attention, God is revealing the truth of the gospel and his salvation process. That's why Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 talked about, I do not allow a woman to teach or to take the authority over a man because of what happened in the garden. But he says her salvation is worked out through childbearing. Oh, now I have to be a child care provider. That's my job, you know. No. Pay attention to the reproduction process. Pay attention to the after the child is born. You're its parent. Guess who our parent is? Spiritually, God. We're his children. We are never called adults in the Bible. We're always his children. We're not going to be grown up until we get there. We are God's children. He's our parent. I have kids born after my seed, right? In the human sense. We are children of God, not because we believe it with the brain. You see what's happening here? This is a spiritual process that a person is regenerated and born again when God's life is born into that person's spirit. And God cultivates it, and it grows. Now, when you go down to the nursery and buy a fruit tree, and it's only about 2 feet high, they're going to tell you how to take care of it. But don't expect any fruit for about 3 years, at least. And they'll tell you how high the thing's going to grow and what all you have to do to cultivate it and make it grow. It has to be a mature tree. It has to be a mature rose bush. It has to be a mature flower. It has to grow to the point that it produces the flower, the fruit. A believer is to go and be watered and be cultivated and so that the growth is strong and healthy. Even as a gardener, I look out over the body of Christ. I see a lot of unhealthy Christians. Not because the seed is not healthy, but because the cultivation and the growing has been corrupted. Not growing right. It's going to take them a while to produce fruit if they're young in the Lord. But my security is, it says, that it is impossible for me to habitually sin. That is, the lifestyle of sin without Christ. It's impossible because his seed is in me. And I'm born of the Spirit of God. So James Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, he is saying the seed of salvation. You have been born from the seed of God. Jesus Christ has produced his life inside of every believer, and since he is in my spirit, what is my spirit going to produce? Fruit. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, by their fruit you shall know them. Where do you get that from? That's not human works. That's not me doing good church work or doing good Christian work. It's coming out of my spirit. And spiritual growth takes place. So you can see how Hebrew thought is cyclical. It goes in cycles. And the Jews see the law beginning back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And seed, the grass and the tree shall produce after its own kind. The only people that belong to Christ are people that have been produced from Christ. And the very seed of his life is planted in them. And that's what causes me to be a child of God. Now forget all of the formulas, you know? Forget all of the formulas. You're only saved because God's Spirit has been born in you. His life is born in you. The seed of God has been born in you. The Word of God himself, Jesus Christ. That's the only reason you're saved. If it's based on any other thing, you got to reconsider. It's not religious human belief. It's not because somebody told you, here's how you get saved. You stand over in the corner on your head with boxing gloves on and stack BBs for 5 minutes and you'll be saved. You know? We've all been exposed to the formulas. How to get saved. Yeah, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. And, you know. That's all in the head. That's nice, kind of. Because if you know the truth and you haven't been born of the Spirit of God, it's not good. Been better for you had you not even been born. But it's not a personal belief. It's being born of the Spirit of God, like a seed planted, it grows, bears fruit. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and how beautiful it is. Thank you for helping us to understand the very laws and principles that are presented to us in creation, found throughout your scriptures. We come across these Jewish and Hebrew phrases, but we sometimes don't have the background to understand where they come from and what they mean. We get a beautiful picture of salvation through the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, as he plants his seed in us, therefore we become branches, bearing the fruit from the seed that was planted, from the source that was planted. Help us to see that bearing fruit is not a human effort, it's spiritual. That you would have us to sit under the hearing of your word for the seed to be cultivated and watered and healthy spiritual growth, so that Christ through us will produce his fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, according to your will. We pray by your Spirit you give us the understanding of these things in Jesus' name.